Hey, Crossing, it's me, Jarrett Stevens, and it's so good to be with you this weekend. I've had the honor and the privilege of being able to speak into your church now for, I think it's 11 years. That's insane. Every year, I'm amazed that you would have me or Jeannie back. So I am just so thrilled to be coming to you from Chicago. I wish I was physically there with you. I love being able to come down there. You know how much I love your pastor, Greg, how much I love the leadership team and the staff there. And I know I say this every time, but it's so true. And you just need to let them know this. You have one of the finest church staff teams I've ever been around. There's something infectious about the culture and the mission and the vision of your church. And I love every second, every summer, every time I get to be with you. I love talking Pastor Andy into taking me out to lunch, usually at a very expensive restaurant. Look, the point is I love you guys. And so I was really concerned when all the world started to change that I wouldn't be able to see you or be with you, but this is what we're gonna have to settle for. This is the next best thing, and it's an honor and a privilege for me to be with you this weekend. I pray that you are doing well wherever you're at, that this is such a crazy way for us to actually be together, right? It's just such a new normal that we're all having to adjust to. I'm so used to being with you and then hanging out afterwards and for us to be able to talk after each gathering, but that's a little challenging during these times. So what I'd love for you to do, if you have the capacity to do so, is to actually just take a second and put down in the comment section where you're watching from. I always think that's so fun to see where God has brought people together from literally all over the world. So if you can do that, if there's a comment section for you to do that, go ahead and put in the comment section where you're watching from. And if you can't put it in the comment section, then just snap a little pic of this moment right now and post it to social and tag me. So at least in some small digital way, we can actually be together this weekend. Now, you don't need me to tell you this. You already know this. Life as we know it is just simply no longer the same. So much has changed, right? In the past couple of months, so much has changed. And one of the things I don't think we're talking about enough is how our perspective has changed. So much of your perspective has changed over the last 4 or 5 months without you maybe even realizing it. Just think about how your perspective on schooling and education has changed. For those of you who are parents or have kids who are in school, you didn't know when 2020 rolled around that you were gonna be homeschool teachers. Your whole perspective on education has probably radically changed, right? Think about your perspective on meetings and how those have changed and how some meetings you used to think you had to do in person, but now you've learned you can do a lot of meetings from home. And think about how your perspective has changed when you get a glimpse into how other folks on your team or your staff live, and you get a glimpse into their living room or the chaos of their kitchen or wherever they may be at during that Zoom meeting, right? I mean, all of our perspectives have changed. Think about how your perspective just even on the news has changed, right? Even as if you watch the news, you've seen how it's just totally changed. People are just kind of reporting from their homes. And no doubt, in fact, you probably saw this guy recently on the news allowing us to have a little more perspective than maybe he would have planned. Yeah, in that pic, we got to see a little bit more than he was ready for. Our perspective has changed on so many things. But here's the thing I want to ask you, and here's what I wonder. Has your perspective changed spiritually at all? With so much actually unfolding in front of our eyes, has your spiritual perspective changed? Do you recognize the things of God that are unfolding? Do you see it? And maybe even more importantly, are you actually looking for it? That's what I want to just take a moment to speak into this weekend. In light of all that all of us are going through, in light of all the current struggles that you may be facing, here's a question I want you to consider, one that I want us to unpack a little bit over the next couple of minutes. How do I know God is for me, given everything in front of me? I think this is a really important question. How do I know God is for me, given everything that I see in front of me? How do I know that there is more than just what I'm seeing right in front of me? How do I know that there's a God who's in control when everything feels so out of control right now? How do I know that God is good given all the bad news that I keep hearing? How do I know that God will carry me through this season when all this just feels like too much? How do I know God is for me given everything that's in front of me? I want to unpack that. And to do that, I want to ask you to actually grab a Bible. So if you have a physical Bible near you, grab it. Or if you can open up a tab, do that, right? grab a Bible, open up to 2 Kings chapter 6. I believe God actually wants to give you a new and a different perspective. 2 Kings chapter 6. So we're going back into the Old Testament, and then I want to give you some context as to where we're coming at in 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, this is well after the time of King David, after his son King Solomon, and the people of God are actually divided into two kingdoms. That's important to understand. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. So just imagine in our own history, if the South had actually won the Civil War and seceded from the North. That's a different kind of scenario than what we're used to, but that's what the scenario was back then. It was one nation, but with two kingdoms. And these kingdoms went through a series of some good, but mostly bad rulers. So what God does is God sends prophets as spiritual leaders of his people. These prophets speak into God's people on his behalf. And one of those prophets was the prophet Elisha. And he, listen, Elisha was a character, okay? He's creative. He's sometimes crotchety. There's stories. You can look him up for yourself. But he cared for God's people. And he had a heart for God that was real and authentic. So this is some of the context. The northern kingdom was actually under attack. In this moment, we're picking up in 2 Kings 6. They were under attack by the Arameans, all right? So the northern kingdom is under attack from the Arameans. That's where we pick up. Would you go to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8? It says this, "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said," now listen to this, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." You gotta love the specificity of this leader. "I'm gonna set up my camping, you know, in such and such a place," right? "I'm gonna set it up over there," right? "In such and such a place. The man of God sent word," so this is now talking about Elisha, this prophet, "the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing by that place,'" you know, such and such a place, "'because the Arameans are going down there.' So the king of Israel checked on that place," indicated by the man of God, by Elisha. "And time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places." Okay, so what do we have going on? What's actually going on here? Well, here's what you have to understand. The king has a man on the inside in Elisha. He has a man on the inside. Elisha is giving him valuable, vital intel about what the king of the Arameans was actually going to do to attack them, how he's going to take a position. So Elisha is invaluable. He's an invaluable asset to the king. This is like, Elisha's kind of like, you remember that movie Minority Report? If that was like actually a thing, that's what Elisha was like. He would kind of predict what was going to happen because he was given insight, spiritual insight from God to see things that no one else could see. Well, needless to say, the king of Aram was not really feeling Elisha. This is what it says in 2 Kings 6, verse 11. "This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, 'Tell me,'" I love this, "'which of us," so he just assumes the man on the inside is on his side, is against him from within. He says, "'which of us is on actually the side of the king of Israel?' And they reply," probably very scared in this moment, none of us, my lord the king, "'none of us,' said one of his officers. 'But,' they said, 'Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom.'" That's chilling, right? That is a very disturbing thought, that he knows everything. I mean, Elisha was literally the very first Alexa, right? He heard everything. There wasn't a thought or a plan that the king of Aram could come up with that Elisha didn't have supernatural spiritual insight into. And you can see, again, why he's such an asset to the king of Israel. So the king of Aram wants Elisha taken off the board. He does not want to have this threat against him. Verse 13 says this. He says, "Go find out where he," being Elisha, "go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." So the report came back. "He's in Dothan, Alabama," of all places. No, it's a different Dothan. "He's in Dothan." And they said, when they sent him there, you know, they kind of found out where he was at. So the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. And they went by night and surrounded the city. Okay, so you see what's happening. They find out that Elisha is in Dothan. He sends a strong force, probably some of his best soldiers, some of his best warriors. He is going to take Elisha and anyone associated with him out. Now, I want you to watch what happens in verse 15. This is fascinating. When the servant of the man of God, so just pause. When the servant of the man of God is another way of saying when Elisha's executive assistant, okay? So we're just going to call him his executive assistant. He kind of assisted and helped out Elisha. So when that servant of the man of God, his executive assistant, got up and went out early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And look at his response. Oh, no. Oh, no, my Lord. What shall we do? His executive assistant asked. I love this. This Elisha's executive assistant, right, gets up early in the morning. And let's just be honest, the Bible doesn't fill in all the blanks, but you can figure it out. He's probably getting up early to use the facilities. Okay. And he's out there and he's still kind of rubbing the sleep out of his eye. And he stumbles into the full force of the enemy's army surrounding them, just waiting for them. Now, for those of you who are parents and you have little ones, you ever have that thing where you wake up early in the morning to have only to have one of your kids just standing right there next to your bed staring at you? You know, it's kind of like, it kind of gives you that kind of feeling. That's how it felt. Same feeling for Elisha's executive assistant, right? He just looked up and saw that he was surrounded. Now, you'd have to be honest in this moment. You would respond the exact same way as he did. Oh, no, we're surrounded. We are doomed. See, what he was doing was he was reacting to what he saw, to what his eyes could actually see around him, to what was right in front of him. And it's only natural to do so, right? It's only natural to do so. And let's just be honest. We do the same thing with every headline we see. Oh no, can you believe it? Oh my gosh, now this, right? We do this with every update that we get about this virus, right? Oh no, numbers are rising. Oh no, like we just have that kind of reaction. We do this with every new statewide order we get in response to the new data coming out about this virus. But we do this with every video released that reveals our nation's long-standing systemic racism. Oh God, oh no, here we are, right? That's kind of our natural response. I mean, think back for a moment, back to a few months ago. Do you remember murder hornets? Remember when that was going to be a thing? Remember, it's like, oh no, are you kidding me? All these murder hornets need to be is zombie murder hornets, and that's it. We're done for, right? How did you feel when you saw any one of those stories or anything that unfolds in our world right now? Oftentimes, what we do is we react in fear based on what seems so clear. Let me say that again. Lots of times when news comes up and feels like it's surrounding us and it's bad news or it's not what we would have planned, not what we would have expected, we react in fear based on what just seems so clear to us. And again, I just want to say that's natural. It's a natural response for you to do that. But I just wonder if anyone watching this from wherever you may be watching now, I just wonder if anyone watching this or listening to this later knows that you're actually not called to live in the natural, but the supernatural. You're not actually called to live in just the natural, but the supernatural. That we're actually told to live by, not by sight, but by faith. That we don't just live by what we see, what seems so clear, but we are invited to live by faith. So I want you to look at Elisha's response in verse 16. Look at how calm, cool, and collected he is. Verse 16 says this. Oh, don't be afraid, he says to his executive assistant. No, don't be afraid, the prophet said. Those who are, this is really important. In fact, just pause. You know this because if you've ever heard me teach with you before, every time at our church back when we used to have people in the room, I would pause on a word and everyone would shout it back, right? So I'd pause on the word and then they would shout that word back to me. So we're going to do this digitally right now. And so I just want you wherever you're at, whoever you're with, to just shout this word out. And if you're watching this right now in a Starbucks, I dare you to do it. I just dare you to shout this word out loud. This is what he says. Now catch this. Don't miss this. When he says, oh, don't be afraid, he says, those who are with, what's the next word? With us, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That is good. Oh, don't worry. Those who are with us are far more than those who are with them. And if you're Elisha's executive assistant, you're probably looking around the camp going, no, dude, we are grossly outnumbered. They have chariots and swords, and half our team isn't even awake at this point, right? Elisha saw what his executive assistant couldn't see. He saw something different. He had a different perspective. Why? Because he just saw things not just as they naturally were, but as they supernaturally were. He had a radically different perspective. Elisha had faith beyond what he could see. He looked at what was against him, but he saw who was for him. Big difference. He looked and saw at all those who were against him, but he saw who was already for him. And this is important for us to catch in this amazing story. And I don't want you to miss this. You might want to jot this down. But this is important to catch, that your faith, my faith is only as effective as your perspective. Your faith is only as effective as your perspective, as the spiritual perspective you have in the world. I'm going to say it again, right? Your faith is only as effective as your perspective. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't see the headlines. It doesn't mean that you don't see where the economy is going. It doesn't mean that you don't see how this virus continues to spread. It doesn't mean that you don't see racial injustice. It just means that's not all that you see. That's not all that you see. It's natural to see those things. But God is inviting you to see things from a supernatural perspective. Now, I want to give you just a little illustration on this of how that works and what that looks like. I don't know about you, but I wonder if there's any people that were 90s kids, right? I was an 80s kid, but I was old enough in the 90s to actually come across these. Do you remember these? The Magic Eye poster? Anyone have one of these? Or do you have the book of all the Magic Eye posters? Right, these were so fascinating. They had a big run in the early 90s, and then we just, like with Waldo, we just totally got over those, right? But the whole deal with the Magic Eye poster is that you're supposed to stare into it and through it, and when you let kind of your focus relax and you just kind of stare awkwardly at it long enough, you see another image, you see a kind of 3D image. And I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know if I needed glasses back then. I very rarely saw the 3D image within the Magic Eye poster. I would just sort of play along with whatever other people were saying, like, oh yeah, it's a sweet eagle. It could have been a dolphin. I have no idea, right? Because I couldn't quite see it. But if you've ever done one of these, you know that you actually have a different perspective. What you see right here, it's a pretty rainbow poster. That's nice. But when you have a different perspective, you see things radically differently. That's what we're actually talking about. These things, these little posters, taught you to see beyond what your eyes could see, to have a very different perspective, to actually look for more. And that's exactly what Elisha is doing in this moment. He's actually looking for more. He's seeing actually more than just what's in front of him. And this is what is so powerful. And this is his prayer in that moment. And it's my prayer for you and for me this weekend. And it's in verse 17. Jump down to verse 17. It says this: after he said, you know, there's far more who are with us than those who are with them. This is what he says in verse 17. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Open his eyes, Lord, so that he can see what I see in this moment. And then this is what happened. The Lord then actually in that moment opened the eyes of his executive assistant, and he looked and saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now this is where the story gets really fun, because the tables have totally turned in this moment. Now Elisha's executive assistant sees what Elisha sees. Now he has that different perspective. He's not just seeing what's naturally right in front of him, but what supernaturally surrounds him. He no longer sees just what's in front of him. He sees who is for him. And I believe that's what God is inviting you to do during these difficult days that we're walking through every day, is to have a spiritual perspective, to not just see what's in front of you. And I get it, that's natural. But to see who is for you, that's supernatural. To see the God who is already here and is already for you. Let me kind of show you how this works and what this really, really looks like for us, okay? Think about it this way. I'm going to ask, actually, Laz, can you zoom in a little bit with the camera? Can you just kind of pull in a little bit tighter on me? No, closer. Let's just get a little bit closer now. No, Lass. A little bit closer now. Hey there. How are you? How you doing? It's good to see you. I didn't know that we were going to be this close this weekend, but here we are. Now, here's how I want you to imagine this, right? Because this is how life can feel. When all you see is just what's in front of you rather than the God who's for you, all you see is your circumstances that surround you, your circumstances that seem to be pressing in on you, right? That's all you can see. All you can see is your finances, and it just feels like they're pressing in on you. All you can see is the bad headlines, and it's pressing in on you. All you can see is this systemic injustice of racism. It just feels like that's the only story that there is, and you can even wonder where God is at. All you see is the virus. You see the numbers, and you just go, that's all I can see, and you can become consumed by what you are naturally seeing right in front of you. And listen, friends, I get it. I know that you may feel overwhelmed. I know that you may feel scared. I know that you may feel alone in this moment. I know that you may feel like you don't know how much more of this you can actually take, but don't miss this. This is incredibly important because even as pressed in as you may feel right now by whatever it is that's surrounding you uniquely in this moment, here's what I do not want you to miss from this story of Elisha and for your everyday life. God surrounds whatever surrounds you. That's incredibly important. While it feels like you're surrounded, what you don't realize is that God actually already surrounds whatever is surrounding you. You are already covered. You are already surrounded. You may feel surrounded by fear right now in this moment. Do you know that God surrounds that fear with His perfect love? You may be surrounded, you feel surrounded by information or misinformation or disinformation. Do you know that God surrounds all of that with His truth? You may feel surrounded by loneliness. You just feel so lost and so alone in the season. God surrounds you with His loving presence, His perfect presence. You may feel surrounded by your kids right now because camp is canceled. And you know that this time, this extended time with your kids is supposed to be a blessing, but you didn't know it was going to be this much time. You know that even if you feel surrounded at home, do you know God surrounds you with His peace? Look, this is personal for me. I feel surrounded right now with the reality of this virus and how it's affected my ability to be present to my family. My family lives in California. And a little over a year ago, my dad had a significant stroke. And it's kind of led to him having to be taken care of in an assisted care facility. So it was already a struggle. It was already a challenge. But then when this virus hit, and my mom couldn't see him and be with him, and they haven't been able to see each other for months physically, and my mom, because of her age, has had to quarantine and isn't able to travel. And even at the thought of being able to see my dad as our family is going to go out there to see them and be with them, we're still going to have to see him through a fence. And I feel surrounded right now with discouragement. I feel surrounded right now with concern for my mom, for my dad, for my family right now as we're walking through our own levels and layers of grief as a family. And it can feel surrounding to me. But you know, the truth is, if that's all I see, I'm going to miss that God is surrounding my mom and dad. God is surrounding my brothers and sister with His loving care. That even if it's difficult and we can't physically be with each other, that doesn't mean that God isn't lovingly caring for them. It's like that song that we love to sing, right? I know you love to sing. It may look like I'm surrounded, but what does it say? But I'm surrounded by You. See, we just need a different perspective. I need a different perspective to see that whatever's surrounding me is actually already surrounded by God. Well, I want to thank these awesome volunteers. Thank you for showing up. Angels, thank you for playing your part well. Troubles, thank you for playing your part well. And thank you for wearing your masks. I appreciate you very much. It's very helpful, right, to have them all here. Thank you very much. Now, I want to wrap up this story because I think that's incredibly important to get. We can feel surrounded, but the reality is God surrounds whatever's surrounding you. And we can just wrap up the message there, but I think it's important for us to wrap with this part of the story that is so, so good. And I believe it is so, so important. For all the parts of the Old Testament well, let's just be honest, that are confusing to me, right? The violence and the war. This is such a different kind of story. And I love how this story ends. And it's actually found in verse 18. So, right? So you have the moment, right? The enemy surrounds Elisha and his executive assistant's camp, but then they see God prays, open his eyes so that he can see what I see. And then he sees how what's beyond just what's in front of them, that God is actually already there and for them. But this is how it ends. This is so good. Verse 18, as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. He goes and prays again. And look at what he prays. Strike this army with blindness. I love it. Strike this army with blindness. So God struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. And Elisha told them, he told them in this moment. So just, this is so good. So just a moment ago, he prayed for new sight for his executive assistant. Open his eyes. Now in this moment, he's actually praying, close their eyes, right? Close their eyes. And so they come down in verse 19 to attack, and they've actually been blinded by God, temporarily blinded by God. And so they come into the town, and Elisha told them, oh, I love this. He goes, oh no, this is not the road, and this is not the city. And then he says this, follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria, which is way out of the way. I love that, that Elisha just straight up Jedi mind tricks an entire army, right? He says, oh, no, 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 this isn't the road. Oh, you took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. You should have, no, this is the wrong road. This is the wrong city, but I'm here to help. I'll lead you to the man you're looking for. I'll lead you to the city that you're looking for. And so they trust him and follow him. And he leads them way away from Dothan, way away from where they are at. Verse 20, as they entered Samaria, as they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes of these men, open their eyes so that they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria, right in front of the king of Israel. And when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, because this is his, this is just kind of his mode. Shall I kill them, my father? You know, referring to him as a spiritual leader. Shall I kill them, Elisha? Did you bring me this entire army for me to slaughter them right here and right now? This is so important. Verse 22. Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill those you've captured with your own sword and bow? No, look what he says. Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So, get this. So he prepared a great, remember I pause, you say it. So he prepared a great what for them? He prepared a great feast for them. Not just rations, not just food and water. He actually, the king prepared a feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Isn't that just a better story? You gotta love when the army of Aram comes back to the king of Aram, you know, and he's like, how did it go? Did you get him? Did you get Elisha? Did you take the city? And they're like, funny story, still wiping crumbs off their face. Funny story, actually. Funny thing happened on the way to the city, right? Isn't this just a better story? Such a picture of God's love and mercy, right? That he fed them, gave them a feast, and then sent them off. And because of that display of love and mercy, they never attacked again. Listen, what a beautiful ending. I think this is such an incredibly important story for the times that we are living in. And it's so incredibly encouraging. As more and more news reports come in, as case numbers from the coronavirus continue to rise, as our economy is teetering, as we continue to have to face and determine what we're going to do about systemic racism in our country. Oh yeah, right. Also in the middle of an election year, right? It's only natural to feel overwhelmed, right? It's only natural, like we were illustrating before, to just feel surrounded, to feel overwhelmed. I get it. But I just want to remind you of this one thing. You may feel overwhelmed, but don't miss this. You are not outnumbered. You may feel overwhelmed. overwhelmed right now with whatever it is that you may be walking through. And I wish I could be with you so we could talk about whatever it is that you are walking through. And if we were together face to face, what I would tell you is you may feel overwhelmed, but you are not outnumbered. God surrounds whatever is surrounding you. Do you know that? That God already surrounds whatever is surrounding you. He loves you. Don't miss this weekend. He loves you. He's got you. And the truth is, this virus is outnumbered. Do you believe that? As the numbers continue to rise, do you believe that it's actually outnumbered by God's might and power? That those who would want to hurt or hinder or harm others because of the color of their skin, they're actually outnumbered. They may make a lot of noise, they are outnumbered. The enemy who wants to limit your perspective and steal your hope is outnumbered. You may not feel like it, it may not seem like it, but it's true. And my hope and prayer for you is that you would begin to see it. You would begin to see not just what's in front of you, but the God who is for you. My hope and my prayer for you this week is that you would see God's goodness, that you would see God's peace, that you would see God's justice, that you would see God's faithfulness, to see that you are actually already surrounded by God. And that's my challenge for you. Your little homework assignment this week is that you would see the supernatural through the natural. You would see the traces of God, the working of God as it works its way through our natural world. That you would not only see it, but here you go, that you'd go looking for it. That you would not just settle for what you see, but you would go looking for the goodness, the peace, the presence, the power, the love, the hope of God. And if you want bonus points, a little extra credit for your homework assignment, beyond all of that, my hope and my prayer for me, for my wife, for our kids, for you, is that you would be it for others to see. You would be that for others to see. That when others look at you and your life and your faith, they would get a glimpse of God in you. That they would see something supernatural as they look at you and your life. That's my hope and my prayer for you. And I'm so grateful that we got to spend this time together the way that we did this weekend. I love you. I love your church. I love its leaders. And I would love to just pray for you. To just pray for you that you would see beyond the natural into the supernatural. So can we just take a second and pray right now in this moment? God, thank you for the relationship to be able to be together like this. Thank you, God, for the history of relationship. God, thank you for this church that loves you and wants to be a light for you in their community. God, I pray that we would not only see, but we would go looking for glimpses of you this week. It's so easy to only see the headlines. It's so easy to only react in fear. It's so easy to feel overwhelmed. But God, would you remind us today, we're not overwhelmed. Whatever's surrounding us is actually already outnumbered by you. That there are literally angel armies protecting, providing, surrounding us. Wherever we may be at, that's a powerful thing, that we're spread out all over the place, but we're surrounded by you. And so God, I pray for each and every person watching or listening to this, that they would be encouraged by that, and they would take up the challenge to be that for others, that they would let their hope and their faith and their love, their kindness, their gentleness, their goodness, their peace that can only come from you, that would be a glimpse of you, God, to others. And God, I don't want to just talk about it. I want that to be true. I want to be about it in my life. I want that to be true, that my neighbors and my friends, people I care about, will get a glimpse of you in me. And I know that's our prayer as well. So God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. God, be blessed, be worshiped, be magnified in our lives, we pray. In your name, amen.